Our reading today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, welcome once again to the Living Water Church. And today we are continuing the Game On teaching series by looking at how to break free from selfishness. And for some reason, this has a little bit of a high ring back there on the sound system. If there's any way we could get rid of that high ring. I think it is in the highs of the main, because I heard it in Patty's also. So it might be just that the main is up too loud, and that might be why. All right. So if you remember, the key idea to Game On is that God wants to use each of us. He wants us to get involved. He wants to get us off the sidelines. He wants to use you to make a difference. He wants to give your life meaning, something that's just much higher, much bigger than yourself. And that's a great idea, but to be used by God, in order to fulfill God's mission for your life, it's going to require first that you begin to become an outward-focused person. For some of us, that's really a challenge, right? It means that you just can't just think about what's on my agenda for today, what I need to get done, all the things in my calendar, all the steps I need to go through today. We also have to begin to see what's happening outside of our life. So if you would, let's go ahead and grab your message notes, and as you do, we'll begin by looking at the first verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. And I'd like us to read this beginning verse out loud together. It starts with those words, don't think. It's up there on the screen. Let's read this together. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. And here's the truth. When you're interested in other people, and in helping them, when you decide to live your life for something that's bigger than yourself, that's really when you become most fully alive. That's when you're most fulfilled. That's when you're at your happiest. It's kind of like that book we just heard about the fish. You know, and because that's what God created you to do, to live your life for something that's bigger than just yourself, to serve other people. So if that's true, then let me ask you this question. Why is it then so hard for me to truly care about what you're doing? Why is it hard for me to get off of my agenda, off of the stuff I've got, and really get to know what someone else has got going on in their life? What is going on there? Why is it so hard for me to not stay focused on my stuff? Well, it's because the big enemy to me fulfilling God's mission for my life, the big enemy to me living the kind of life that God is going to bless, is this thing called selfishness. And within all of us, there's this desire that's born in us that pushes us to live for ourselves, that keeps us focused on me. That says I'm number one and everything else, everyone else, just is not quite as important than what I've got going on today. And we're all born with this thinking. From early on where you hear me, 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 and mine, this idea of selfishness. This strong desire says exactly the opposite of our first verse that we just heard. Selfishness says, only think about your own affairs. Don't be interested in others until you've taken care of yourself. I mean, does anyone else struggle with this from time to time? And we see this battle played out in big ways and small ways in each and every day of our life between God's desire for me to put others first and my own selfish desire to put me first. And so we have to constantly choose between selfishness and service. In fact, I put a together a few scenarios that I'd like you to consider. I think these are things that you probably experience fairly regularly in your life. And I want to see where you would put yourself. Would you see yourself as being service or choosing selfishness? So here's the first scenario. You got to be honest, but it's not honest. This isn't a good tool. So you got to kind of put yourself, what would I do? Here's the first one. You're a parent of a newborn. Okay, so some of you maybe never experienced this yet. Some of you may have to really think way back. That's okay, but put yourself in this place. You're a parent of a newborn. She wakes up screaming in the middle of the night. Do you choose service and jump up immediately and go take care of her so that your spouse can get some extra sleep? Or do you choose selfishness and pretend that you're asleep and didn't hear her so your spouse will have to get up and get her? Now, I've never done that. I've just heard other people do this. Which would you choose, service or selfishness? Here's the second scenario. You have a piece of garbage, and you go to the kitchen garbage can, you drop it in, but the garbage can's so full that it falls to the floor. Do you A, choose service and get the garbage and take it out, or do you B, find a stapler and staple that piece of garbage to the top of the pile so someone else will have to take the garbage out? Do you choose selfishness or service? Scenario number three. You're on your way to work. Someone's trying to get into traffic from McDonald's. Do you A, choose service, pause and let them in? Or do you B, choose selfishness, assume the car behind you will let them in, and pretend that you can't see that they're trying to get into the flow of traffic? What do you do? Service or selfishness? All right, here's the final scenario. You're at work. You have this important deadline. It's due. It's very stressful. And then an annoying coworker calls you up or sends an email to you wanting your time and attention and help. Do you choose service and give them your attention, time, and help? Or do you choose selfishness and say, listen, I got way too much to do today. You just need to go away and find someone else to help you or come back at a later time? What do? Choose selfishness or service? And we face these choices every day. Listen, Jesus wants you to break free from selfishness for your benefit, for your personal heart, and for the benefit of the world around you. In fact, look at what Jesus tells us about breaking free from selfishness and serving others in Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. Jesus says, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. He kind of turns the whole thing upside down with these words, doesn't he? I mean, this is where we get the term servant leadership. So Jesus says, if you want to be a leader, it's not about getting other people to serve you. I mean, traditionally, leadership is, I want to be a leader because I want other people to do stuff for me. But Jesus says, no, that's not leadership at all. If you want to be a leader, you need to be the one who serves everyone else. You have to have this lifestyle of service. If you want to be a leader, you must be a servant. Then he continues, verse 27. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? To serve others. Serve others. Jesus says, that's my mission. I came not to be served. I'm the Son of God. I did not come for you to serve me. I came to serve you and give my life as a ransom for many. So Jesus says, look at me. Not only am I teaching this, but this is what I'm living out. I'm giving my life away for you. I want you to give your life away for others. I want you to serve others instead of allowing your world to be centered around you. So it's time for us to be like Jesus and to break these chains of selfishness. But if you think about it, if being a servant isn't natural, if selfishness is kind of what comes naturally for us, how do we break these chains of selfishness? Well, to do it, we've got to be intentional each and every day. So here's the key principle for this. Small things done with great love will change the world. This is the only thing that has ever changed the world. So we get this. If you will be intentional about doing small acts of service and you do it with great love every day, God will not only change the world around you, he will also change your heart. Because with every intentional act of service, every time you push down that selfishness and you instead choose service, every time you do that, you begin to make your world a better place. And God begins to change your heart and to begin to break those bonds of selfishness away from you. So this morning I want to look quickly at seven simple ways to break free of selfishness. And I don't know, you might be thinking, seven, oh my goodness, that's a lot. And so listen, I don't want you to think about it that way. I don't want you to think about these are things you ought to do every day. It might be that you do it every week, or it might not be that you do all of them. But as you begin to put these things into a pattern in your life, you'll begin to see this bond of selfishness break. So here's the first one, and that is to connect with my family. As we begin breaking free of selfishness, let's begin with those who are closest to us, because this is one action we often put off. Because we know, at least initially, we can steal time and attention away from our family, and they'll kind of let us get away with it because they love us. So there's no immediate consequence to that. Have you ever noticed that you're often the most selfish around your own family? It's true. I mean, it's hardest to apologize to our family because we know all of their issues as well. It's hardest to share with your family because we're already sharing so much with them. It's hardest to encourage those who are in family because they should already know what we're thinking, right? But if we're going to break free from selfishness, it starts with your family. Now, there's a lot of different ways that we could talk about connecting with your family. I could talk about having a date night every week with your spouse, or spending more time with your kids or grandkids, or working on that relationship with your siblings. But today, one simple step I want to give you is to focus on connecting with your parents if they're still alive. Here's why. Because God put that in his big 10. It's the 10 commandments. Commandment number 4 is about you being connected with your parents, about honoring your father and your mother. So let's look at the 4th commandment. And by the way, these are 10 commandments, not the 10 suggestions. Sometimes we treat them as suggestions, but no, they're commandments. So this one's important. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God will give you. Would you underline that phrase, a long, full life? A long, full life. It's interesting. This is the only one of the 10 commandments that has a promise to it. It says, if you honor your father and mother, you will live a long, full life. Now, none of the other commandments say this. It doesn't say, if you don't steal, God's going to make you a billionaire. It doesn't say, if you honor the Sabbath, that you'll be able to retire early. This verse says that if you honor your father and mother, it's one of the keys to living a long and full life. So let me give you one simple step to take this week. I think that can help begin to break the bonds of selfishness in this area, and it's simply this. Call your mom and dad. Call them. If you're fortunate enough that they're both still around and you're able to have a relationship with them, take the time to call them this week and make it a habit. All right? So call your parents. You'll be glad that you did. It's going to tighten that relationship with you. In fact, some of you, you know this, you probably need to make that call right after service because it's been a while since you've made the call. But when you do that, you're honoring them and you're breaking free from selfishness as a key to living a long, happier, fuller life. And some people, they can't call their parents because their parents have passed away or for a host of other reasons. But if they're still here, take advantage of it, because you're not always going to have them with you. Sometimes we get so focused on ourselves and our own agendas, all the things we need to do, that we just don't take the time. So I encourage you, connecting with those who love us the most is so important. So I want to challenge you to break free from selfishness by being intentional about connecting with your family. So that's the first one. And if you can't connect with your parents, then maybe it's that you need to call a sibling. Or maybe it's an aunt and uncle, or maybe it's one of your cousins, but make the call to a family member. Then here's the second way to break free of selfishness. And remember, we started with those who are closest to us, so now we're going out a little bit. Here's the second step, and that is to encourage my colleagues. encourage my colleagues. You know, another group of people that we spend a significant amount of time with are the people you work with. Or if you're a student, your classmates. And the workplace is a unique environment. You really see a person's true colors when you're forced to spend 40-plus hours with them every week. And even when you're working at home, you still have to interact online with your coworkers. And in every one of your workplaces, we have this cast of characters, these personalities that are there. Every workplace. There's the upbeat one. The upbeat one who's always a little bit too chipper for the situation. And then there's the negative person, the complainer. Doesn't matter how things are going, they're going to be complaining and bringing everyone down. Then there's the one that's always joking, that can't be serious. And there's the one that's serious and you can never joke with. And there's the one that's quiet, and there's the loud person. But here's my question. Which one are you? Or if you're retired, which one were you? What are you known for as in your workplace? Are you the quiet one, or the funny one, or the bitter one, or the one that's complaining, or are you the one that tells the inappropriate jokes? I hope not. You know, are you the one that just kind of falls into that negative pattern? Let me challenge you. Be the encourager at your workplace. Be known as the encourager. Remember last week, we talked about there's really two types of people when it comes to encouragement. There are encouragers and there are discouragers. There's ones who put courage into a person's life and one who takes courage away by the words they use. Develop the reputation of being the encourager. Don't be the one who brings into the gossip into work or brings into negativity or brings in the anger. Instead, be the one who's always speaking well to and about other people. Shower your colleagues with encouragement. Just watch what happens to the environment of your workplace. I mean, even the ones who don't deserve encouragement. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, don't use foul and abusive language. Now, maybe I should stop right there and talk about that right now, but that's really a whole nother sermon, so we'll keep going. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be a what? An encouragement to those who hear them. Remove the negative words. Get rid of the cussing and the cursing. Remove the gossip where you're stabbing people in the back people in the back with your words. Remove the complaining and replace all that with encouraging words that are helpful and lifting people up. It's a simple action that can help you focus on breaking free from your negativity, breaking free from your discouragement, breaking free from those things. And so when can we do that? We could actually start tomorrow with this. On Monday, it's just right next door to start with tomorrow. It can be a brand new one for you. Compliment people. Encourage them. Help them in any way that you can. I mean, don't gossip and tear people down with your words. Instead, beginning Monday, be known as the encourager. If you do that, it's an important step to breaking free from selfishness. Here's the third way. Break free from selfishness is to pray for my friends. And we just have this tendency to underestimate the power of prayer as a means of serving others. I think we forget that prayer is this powerful thing that can help move us beyond selfishness. By praying for our friends, it makes a really big difference. Okay, so what is prayer? It's simply just talking to God. Seeking God for His guidance and for His will and taking needs to Him. And so when you pray for your friends, you're praying to God on their behalf. You're not seeking your own request in that moment, but you're instead seeking God for their requests and their needs and what they're supposed to do. Let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I urge you, notice the priority, I urge you first of all to pray for who? All people. I mean, that's a lot of people, all people, but let me just kind of break that down a little bit to make it more manageable. And just think of those 5 to 6 people that you wrote down a few weeks ago on that Connect card who are in your life who don't have a relationship with Jesus, who don't go to church. Those 5 to 6 people who need to know God and continue to pray for them each day. Hopefully you've been doing that. They're your friends, your workers, your coworkers. Pray for them regularly. Make them a part of what you do every day so that you, those that don't have that relationship with Jesus. And as you pray, take a look at the rest of this verse. It says, as you make your request, plead for God's mercy upon them and give thanks. God wants to reach your friends who don't know him through you. God wants you to be the person. It's a great way for you to be used by God when you choose to pray for others. Oftentimes when we pray, we think about our own requests, the needs in our life, our desires, our wants, those challenges in our life. But when we pray for others, it causes us to take the focus off of ourselves and place it on the needs of someone else. It's really hard to be selfish when you're praying for someone else's needs. When you're thinking of someone else, it's hard to focus just on yourself. And don't say, hey, you know what, I'm going to pray for you and then not do it. It's just too much power in prayer to not pray. And I think we all understand this. It feels so good when someone says, I'm praying for you, right? It's that great feeling to know that, because there's something spiritual that takes place when someone prays and talks to God. And I don't pretend to have all the answers to be able to explain clearly how prayer works, but this is what I know. That it does, that it's powerful. There's something spiritual that takes place in that communication between you and God. As you pray for other people, God is already at work in their life, but somehow our prayers amplify it. And the discipline of prayer helps you overcome the pattern of selfishness in your own life. So as you pray for friends, then notice our next way to break free from selfishness, and that is number 4, across the page. That is, invite my friends to church. We pray for them, and then we invite them. This is a great way to break free from selfishness. Because, see, I believe our church is one of the greatest secrets in southeastern Michigan. There's just a lot of love here at our church. We have some quality people that serve and give and reach and out and lead in our church. You know, we have some great Bible stories. The people who work with our kids, they have so much love for them, and they're the best at anyone anywhere of teaching those kids about how Jesus wants a relationship with them. And we have this new youth group that's got it started, and we have this new young adult Bible study on Wednesday nights. Share that with other people. Don't just hold on to it. Share that with your friends. Invite them to church. Now, look, I understand this can be difficult, right? It can be kind of challenging. I mean, we can invite someone out to dinner. We can take them to a cookout. We can invite them to see the latest movie or maybe a show. But for some reason, our minds just completely go blank when we want to invite someone to church. We just don't know what to say or how to say it or how's it going to come out. But you know what the hardest part of inviting someone to church is? It's simply saying the first couple words. Because once you start, the Holy Spirit has this way of just taking over and helping us say what needs to be said. It is just kind of a powerful moment when you realize, wow, I think I said something I would have never said. God just used me in that time. Being used by God in this way, it blesses you as much as it blesses the person who ends up coming. And more often than not, if it's your friend who you're inviting, they'll often come the very first time you invite them because, think about it, they're your friends. They care about what you care about. And so we need to take advantage of that. We need to make the most of that opportunity. That's what Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 is getting at, where it says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. So begin to pray for your friends. Begin to invite them to church. And then here's the fifth way. We break free from selfishness, and that is to help someone in need. Some of you are already taking that step by bringing the food for OSEF, and you've already been bringing that in, and I encourage you to keep doing that. If you haven't done that, we collect it every week. It's a simple way to just help someone that's in need. Small things done with great love changes the world. And you might think, well, how is giving some canned goods or other food items? I mean, that just doesn't seem like a world-changing move. Well, let me tell you something. It is a big deal. It does change the world because you're helping someone that's struggling. You're encouraging someone who doesn't have much. You're providing something for someone who just is going to not have enough without that. They're small actions. But when done with great love, they change the world. Not only will they change the world, but God will use it and he'll bless it. Take a look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. It puts it this way, if you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord and he will repay you. God will give back to you all that you give to him because God deeply cares about the poor. And so the more we help, the more God gives. As we help those in need, God takes that light and he honors it. He blesses it. Then the sixth way we can break free from selfishness is just to show kindness to a stranger. Now, this is kind of a fun one. It's fun because you get to be creative with this. It's fun because you can think about how you're going to show this kindness. It's fun because it really catches people off guard when you do it. It's an opportunity for you to make a difference. People often speak about random acts of kindness. This is kind of what I'm talking about, but not quite. Instead of it being random, a random act of kindness, I'm saying we ought to have an intentional focus, a deliberate effort to show kindness to a stranger. And as we do that, when we take that step, we're showing kindness with a purpose. We're showing kindness beyond ourselves to show God's love. And it's the little things that just make a difference with this. It could be as simple as paying for the person behind you and then sharing the words, God bless you. It could be as simple as leaving a larger tip at a restaurant than you normally would and writing on that receipt, God loves you. When you do these type of things, you never know who you're serving or the potential that it can lead to. Look at what Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2 says. It says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some of you have done this and have entertained angels without realizing it. The point is you never know who you're serving and the impact it could have. You know, that person that you gave that extra tip to, they might have just lost a loved one this week, or maybe they're struggling to pay the bills this month. That one person that you showed that intentional act of kindness to might be on the brink of trusting God with their life or turning away from him. Your deliberate act of kindness made all the difference. Help them realize that there's a God who loves them. This is what intentional acts of kindness, it just makes it so much fun because you just never know what it might lead to. And this is what makes intentional acts of kindness so powerful. Because God might be placing that person in your life for that time for a very specific reason. So I want to encourage you this week to make a point to show an intentional act of kindness to a stranger. Don't wait. Don't make excuses. Just begin to do this week. One intentional act of kindness this week. All right, on the back of your notes. Our final action for breaking free of selfishness. I think it's the big idea that kind of ties this all together. Number 7, adopt the humility of Jesus. Adopt the humility of Jesus. If every day when you woke up, you purposely decided to adopt the humble attitude of Jesus, it would just start to become a natural part of your life, of who you are. You will naturally connect with your family. You'll naturally encourage your colleagues. You'll naturally pray for your friends and invite them to church and help someone in need and show kindness to someone you don't even know. Now, if you remember our first verse from today, Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, it was this challenge. Don't just think about your own affairs or only about what's going on in your life. Be interested in what others are doing as well. Well, I want you to see what comes after this verse. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. This is the verses that Patty read for us a moment ago. So how do you do that? How do you keep yourself interested in other people's lives? Well, it says your attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. So we're going to take on his attitude. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the what? He took the humble position. Circle that word humble if you're taking notes. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he immediately what? He humbled again. Circle that word humble again. He immediately humbled himself even further by dying a criminal's death on a cross. And you know, when we hear that word humility, many times we kind of get the definition of that word wrong. We kind of think of humility as putting ourselves down or thinking less of ourselves or not standing up for ourselves or letting ourselves be a doormat for other people. But Humility, according to Jesus, is not thinking less of yourself. It's actually thinking of yourself less. So let me say that again. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less, and it's thinking of other people more. Humility isn't putting yourself down. Humility is lifting other people up. Jesus knew he was God. He knew he had the power to push people to do whatever he wanted them to do. He knew he had the power to make people serve him, to get his needs met first as the Son of God. But the Bible says he surrendered those rights. And he thought of us first. He modeled a life of humble service for us to follow. Then he eventually died a sacrificial death for us on the cross. He died for our sins, even though he had never sinned himself. And through his humble death, Jesus lifts us up. So that if we believe in him, if we believe he died for our sins, rose 3 days later, if we give our life to him and his ways of doing things, the Bible says we can have eternal life. And we can begin to live the life that God intended for us to live right now. So what it's saying is, okay, God, I'm no longer going to think of myself first. I'm going to work at thinking of the needs of others. I'm going to start thinking outside of myself. So God, today, show me how I can love my family, how I can serve my friends, how I can make a difference with my colleagues and my classmates. God, show me today how I can help someone that's in need or how I can be a blessing to someone I don't even know yet. Adopting the humble attitude of Jesus. This is a daily activity. Every morning, every day, every moment, consciously deciding, I'm going to serve instead of being selfish. When we adopt Jesus' attitude, we're going to see it reflected in those little decisions that we make every day. Remember at the beginning, I gave you several scenarios, and I said, you've got to choose. Is it going to be service or selfishness? Okay, so many times we fall into that trap of just choosing selfishness. But if we'll adopt Jesus' attitude, it's going to become natural for us to begin choosing to put others before ourselves. People notice that kind of life. That kind of life just stands out because it's different. It goes against the grain of the way the world works. That kind of life shines brightly. It's the kind of life that Jesus wants you to live. So look at our key verse today. Earlier we talked about how Jesus said that even though he was the Son of God, he came to be a servant. Here Jesus is asking us to join him and choose service over selfishness. Matthew 23, verse 11 says, the greatest among you must be a servant. 7 simple actions. You don't have to do them every day. You don't even have to do them all this week. But if you begin to incorporate these in your normal life, you're going to begin to break free of those chains of selfishness. And you're going to begin to live that kind of life that God created you to live. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, this issue of selfishness, it's kind of hard for us to just be honest about this, because we don't really think of ourselves as selfish, but we do often get trapped into a pattern of thinking about what I've got to do today and forgetting about what other people have got going on in their life. And so help us to get outside of our stuff. Help us to just open our eyes to the people in our life, not just to see them, but to really see what's going on, what their needs are, where their struggles are, where their hurts are. Help us to begin to just get a perspective that's bigger than just what I've got today. And so we come together today and ask you for your help. And you know our hearts. You know that we can sometimes be consumed with this thing called selfishness. Every day we get up and that's what we do. We think about what we've got going on, what's next, what we need to do, what we need to get through today. Sometimes our focus is so narrow that we just kind of push people to the side. Even sometimes running over people to get the stuff done that we've got to do. God, forgive us of that sin. We don't want to be selfish. Help us to choose service. Help us to connect with our family. Help us to love our parents. God, help us to encourage our colleagues and our classmates and not just be caught up in our own lives and the things we need to do each day. Give us a heart and passion to pray for those who don't know you and to be willing to invite them to church. Help us to see people in need and be willing to help them as you give us the ability to do it. God, we pray for the ability to take on this humble attitude that Jesus modeled. That's what we want. Teach us how to do that. Turn our hearts toward that. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the example of being a servant that he modeled and his humility in dying a sacrificial death for our sins, even though he had never sinned himself. We thank you for him. And we pray that his life would be our example, that we would follow, that we would be intentional about this, that we'd make this a part of our daily walk. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.